Hey, Euphorians, we had so much craziness happening this episode, so be sure to keep it right here because we got lots to talk about.
You're tuned in to AfterBuzz TV, the ESPN of TV talk. Now, let the buzz begin.
Hey, everybody, welcome to the AfterBuzz After Show for Euphoria, Season 1, Episode 2. Stuntin' like my daddy, stuntin' like my daddy. It's Ashley Morgan. I'm here with the TV show enthusiast, Rivette.
Hi!
And of course, the Zendaya fanatic, Mr. Jeff himself.
What up? Some like TV, I just like Zendaya. What up,
girl? He likes them both. So we had so much craziness happening this episode. So today we're going to talk about the opening scene with Nate and his dad's collection. We're going to talk about Rue and her summer and her talking about it at school and how sad that was. We're going to talk about Kat and her being recorded against her knowing. We're talking about Maddie and Nate and Tyler. We're also going to bring up Fez, Mouse, and Rue. And we know who Shy Guy is. But first of all, let's talk about our overall thoughts of this entire episode because it was crazy. Rivette?
I could barely hold on to my seat during this episode. I think both of us were just kind of like looking at each other like, oh my goodness, is this happening? Honestly, it was hard to watch it a lot of the times. But, I mean, we're here for the drama and like the real life situations that really happen. I really think this episode touched on so much. So it was hard to watch, but I did enjoy it.
Yeah, and it was from the first episode, so just last episode of this one, the first thing I thought about was this show is just in your face in all aspects, whether it's sex, whether it's drugs, whether it's sexuality, like it's all in your face. And this show, this episode definitely didn't step back. If anything, it just took that and kept rolling. And it was really a great episode, but it showed so much, like she said. And there was a lot to discuss.
I remember there's times I'm like grabbing Rivette because it's so intense and like some of the scenes are so vivid. And a lot of times in TV shows, they kind of steer away from things where like Euphoria just goes straight at it. We're seeing male parts, we're seeing drug use, we're seeing sex, we're seeing sexuality. And one thing I admire about Euphoria is that it just goes there. Okay, so let's dive into the show. So it opens up with little Nate looking at his dad's collection. And his collection is some sex tapes. So let's talk about that. What did you guys think? Was it like surprising? Were you overwhelmed? Were you shocked? Were you nervous? What were your thoughts?
At first, I was like shocked. It was like, I was like, oh, wow, he sees that. But then I start to realize this is what's forming him to the person it is now. And we're starting to see the backstory of Nate and everything starts to make sense. And then not to like jump forward into the story, but like you can kind of see the same methods he uses against Tyler that his dad used against all those other victims and stuff. So it was really crazy to see, but it also had a meaning and a backstory. And that's a lot of the things this whole show does. And we talked about it, there's a lot of confusion and like, oh my gosh, but then you think about it, there's so much going on and why they're showing it. And that was just a crazy scene.
It was a sneak peek.
Yeah, that was one of the moments that was really hard to watch for me. I mean, even just seeing a kid and seeing sort of where their mind goes when they're seeing who's supposed to be like their role model, their father. And he sort of doesn't fall far from the tree, like you said. And it's such a hard moment to watch. And sort of when his dad was even giving him like the pep talk and he was just laying in bed, it was entirely uncomfortable for me.
I was thinking the same thing. I was just thinking, like, that's little Nate, you know, watching his father. And then you see why he has these episodes where he has these anger issues and these rage moments where he's breaking things or he's being intense. You're like, this stems from what happened to him as a child. And they say that a lot. The things that happen to us as children affects us as adults. It either comes out sideways or crazy unless we get the help that we need. It comes out in different ways. And I remember when I was watching it, I was like, it was a lot. It was really intense for me. And I'm sure for a lot of the viewers because of the content. And it also, you see the effect on Nate. Like, he can't even be in a men's locker room with naked men because he feels uncomfortable, which we were going to talk about later because that might be with his sexuality. But you see the effects on Nate, and it's kind of like, wow, this is why he does what he does, you know?
Definitely. That's just, like, jumping into sexuality, I didn't even think about that. When they showed the scene of him in the locker room, I was like, that's just what some guys do. And I was like, looking back on it, that makes way more sense why he was so weird about it, why it was such talked about in the show. So, yeah, I didn't even think about that until you said it.
Yeah, it's interesting. And, like, I mean, you kind of knew something was up with Nate when he had that scene in the kitchen with Jules. Like, there was some right. kind of, he had some kind of hatred towards her. And you were thinking, oh, he just hates her because he hates her. But now maybe I'm wondering if he hates her because she's comfortable with who she is. And Nate's not comfortable with who he is yet.
Mm-hmm.
So that's true. Something I can't wait to explore. So moving on, the scene where, I felt attacked by this. The scene where the teacher picks on Rue to go up to talk about her summer when I'm sure they're all told, you know, kind of what happened and putting her on Front Street. And I'm like, that's a trigger. Why would you ever do that to someone when you know they've gone through something that was really triggering? What were your thoughts on that scene?
I was so triggered watching that. I wrote on my paper, WTF Mrs. Applegate. Because, like, clearly the whole school knows what Rue went through this summer. So you're not only, you're calling on her first before right. anyone else, and then you can clearly see that she's so uncomfortable, and you're making her speak about her summer, and all these flashbacks are happening to her. So insensitive. And unfortunately, I feel like, you know, not to that extent, but in high school, sometimes teachers do that. Like, we'll pick on you, and it's like, dude, I'm clearly uncomfortable. Everyone can see that, and everyone in the school knows her situation.
Exactly.
Like, that was so uncomfortable. It was very unnecessary.
And I thought it was inappropriate.
Yeah.
Definitely. And it kind of brought me back to the same scene with Nate and Jules. I was waiting for someone to be like, mm-hmm. step up, do mm-hmm. something. Mm-hmm. And that's like, I was waiting at the edge of my fingers, or like, I was like waiting for that to happen. And then when her friend finally did, in my opinion, it was late. Because I would have wanted somebody to just step on the stage and like call the awkwardness out for what it was
right.
because it was just craziness, but like I'm glad someone did. It was very awkward. It was very unprofessional of a teacher. But in high school, you might get those teachers that either don't care or don't know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Or yeah. So it was a crazy scene, but I'm glad someone did step up.
Yeah, but even to piggyback off what you said, when Lexi said something, it wasn't like out loud, it was kind of singling out the one person who was making fun of Rue. It wasn't mm-hmm. like, oh, I'll go instead, or, you know, maybe we should use someone else. It was like it just shows, like, in high school, everyone was so afraid to say something, mm-hmm. to stand up for somebody. So if something's ever happening and you're in high school or school or anywhere, stand up for them.
Please.
Sometimes people just need a voice.
Yeah.
That's my little PSA. But I remember, and then we see that scene with Rue and her sister, speaking of her sister, after Gia,
mm-hmm.
right?
Gia.
Gia found Rue, and she's, you know, shaking, and she has to try to get a towel for her, and she can, and, you know, when she sees Rue again, Rue's dancing down the hallway, and for Gia, she's like, I just saw you almost dead.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, Rue's in this car when she's reminiscing on the summer scene, and she's, like, listening to music, trying to have a good time, and, like, you see these cuts of her doing drugs, but then she's, like, with her family, mm-hmm. and she's having a good time, and then you see her arguing with her mom. And that was, I was really heavy. What were you guys' thoughts on that scene?
Yeah, it was hard. And I remember taking my headphones off when we were watching him. Like, is this a flashback or is this mm-hmm. a dream? Because there was so many, it was like a mix between good and bad.
Mm-hmm.
And like, it kind of went along with the song. And I think it was just like her showing us, the fans, that there's a lot of good things that happened with the summer. But there was also a lot of bad things
mm-hmm.
that I think the bad was like the family's perspective mm-hmm. and the good was hers.
Mm-hmm.
And then her seeing both sides, but like, dang, I really messed up. So I thought it was a huge scene looking back on it. When I was watching it, I was kind of confused, not going to lie, but like there's so much going into that scene.
Mm-hmm. I felt helpless watching that scene, especially the fight with her mom. It's like, I wanted to like help. I'm, you know, you put yourself in the position of the mother and you're just like, I don't know how I would handle this. It's like, and poor Gia to, you know, find her sister like that. Like, how is that going to shape her future?
Exactly.
And her teenage years and her adulthood. Again, one like a really heavy scene. It was just like, wow, but this stuff does happen. So I'm glad that they do touch on these real life topics because there are people that do go through this.
And it shows you. Oh, sorry, go ahead.
No, definitely. Mm-hmm. And like, just to piggyback on that, I would like to see Gia's perspective.
Mm-hmm.
I think people could learn from that perspective,
mm-hmm.
and especially like the people that are doing the drugs. Because then mm-hmm. you can see, oh, this is what my family sees mm-hmm. in me. Because we don't always get that perspective. We just think we know what they think or what they're feeling, but we don't actually know that. So I would love to see the opposite side of the, like, just opposite perspective. I think that could be huge for the viewership, for Rue as a character.
Yeah. But also, I feel like too, we, you know, whenever someone overdoses, it's like, well, why didn't you try to get them help? Why didn't you do this? Why didn't you do that? And it's like, I did do this. I did do that. And you can see her mom, like, you're staying in the house. You're doing the and Rue's fighting against it. It's like, so what do you do? What do you do when you're trying your hardest and you just can't? You can't. You physically can't. She was going to probably stab her mom. Mm-hmm.
Exactly.
Because she's an addict. Mm-hmm. And she's addicted to it. And she's like, I have to do whatever I can do to get to what I want and what I need. So,
it's a lot. Like,
it's heavy.
It's like, I'm like sweating because it's so heavy. Before we go on to the next topic, Jeff, would you like to read our live read?
Yeah. So before we get into the next topic, like you said, I just want to say thank you guys to all the viewers, to everybody watching on all the different platforms. We couldn't do this without you guys. You guys make us the ESPN of TV Talk, and just for you guys, or for us to continue to grow, we just ask you guys to like, put the thumbs up, you know, put 5 stars wherever you guys are watching. But no matter where you guys are, please leave a comment and get involved in the conversation. That is huge, especially with this show. There's a lot of topics. There's a lot of sensitive topics. Some that we don't really have. The experience of knowing. Yes. So please be in the comments talking about it. Engage with us because we want to know your stories and we want help too. We want to know how you guys see this video or see the show. And just being part of AfterBuzz has meant so much to me. Like, these are my first couple months. This is my, first couple months on the show. I'm learning a lot, meeting great people, great opportunities. So this has meant so much to me. And we just truly appreciate you guys supporting us, and we love, and just don't forget to tell your friends about this episode.
Yes, piggyback off with what Jeff said. Yes, we are always reading your comments, responding back. If there's something you want to educate us on that we don't know about, please share. Let's talk about this because it's such a great show to talk about. So let's keep talking about it. let's jump into... Okay, so the scene with Rue in school. She had a panic attack. There's a trigger for her. She runs to the bathroom. Lexi follows her. She has a moment with Lexi. She leaves, and where does she go? To Fez's house to get her fixed. But she happens to come at the wrong time, and Fez's people come in. I was so uncomfortable. First of all, Mouse is sitting so close to Rue. I'm uncomfortable. You're a grown A man. I'm not going to say a bad word. Sitting very close to her, and I just felt, Fez, like, so uncomfortable, and, like, how can I protect her? Because I don't know, you know, if he pops off, I mean, he has a gun in the couch, but you don't want to shed blood. That causes problems. That can trigger other things. So I was like, when that was happening, what were your thoughts? Like, Rue's sitting on the couch next to Mouse. There's a gun in the couch. This other guy might have a gun. Ashtray's there.
I was terrified. I was actually holding back tears. And it looks like Diana Nieto in the live chat, thank you for tuning in.
Thank you, Diana.
She says, the scene where the drug dealer was being creepy really scared me. And I definitely agree. Like, it was just, again, so helpless. Like, Fez, it seems like he really, really cares about Rue. And I think, I mean, we saw that a little bit in the first episode, but he really showed that older brother, like, instinct in this second episode where he just really wanted to protect her. He was like, here, take the money. But I don't know. He tried to warn her. He tried to say, you know, get out of here. But, of course, she's just like, give me my drugs.
She's so stubborn.
I want my drugs. And, again, it was just... so uncomfortable. She's a minor. I don't even know the drug she took. What, fentanyl? I have no idea what that is. Like, very, very uncomfortable again.
Yeah, it was a lot, but in that scene, it just kind of pushed even more that Fez is one of my favorite characters, if not my favorite character. Because he stays looking out for Rue, even when, like, he's her drug addict, but he cares about her as a friend. Mm-hmm. And that's so huge. And you can tell throughout every interaction that they do. And another thing that caught me at the end of that scene is when she says, I'm so happy. And she says that when she's drugged up, looking the worst, being abused. So that's, at first I was like, why would she say that? Because it's like, she had a good life. But then I realized, no, it's not. She's saying that when she looks when she's in her weakest moments. So that shows, like, that puts a black light on drugs, and I really appreciate that scene. And there's other scenes like that, but that one, that stood out to me, and I just wrote it down when it said, I'm so happy. I was like, that's a really black mark, and it shows real views of people thinking they feel so great, but in reality, it's like, you could literally die right now. And that's what your drug addict thinks you're about to die right now.
And she said that, you know, she was like, please, God, don't let me die. Mm-hmm. She doesn't know how fentanyl's. She's done other stuff, but, like, different drugs affect people differently. And you could see the fear in Fez's eyes when she took the fentanyl. And then Mouse is just laughing, and he's like, and he knows Mouse. Mm-hmm. He knows he's trying to do some sneaky stuff. And sure enough, he was. So luckily, Fez paid him up. And when you said, you know, when she said, I'm so happy, and he whispered, I know. It was so much, like, sadness in his voice and in his heart. And that just really broke my heart. And then, you know, he calls someone. I'm like, who is he calling? And we find out that it's Jules, which I think is really sweet. But Jules has never seen that side of Rue before. So it was kind of interesting seeing how she reacted to that. And she kind of was just there with her. And it's nice. Like, she didn't try to do too much. She was just kind of present. Mm-hmm. And then we see her texting Shy Guy, which we'll talk about later. But it was just nice to just see. It's nice to see this budding friendship between Rue and Rue and Jules.
Oh, yeah, Jules.
I think it's the cutest thing in the world. Mm-hmm. Okay, so moving on. Can we just talk about Nate? And I don't know if you guys ever seen You on Netflix.
Yes.
He's kind of like Joe.
He is.
Joe is like this character where he like falls in love with these women. He's like, I know what's best for you. And he does things to protect them, stalking them and like protecting them. But it's kind of like creating havoc. And I kind of feel like that's what Nate's doing with Maddie. And, you know, Maddie may or may not have had sex in the pool. But she's saying she did not have sex in the pool. So now Nate is thinking that Tyler, we find out later, was the guy in the pool, raped Maddie. And he said earlier, if anything ever happened to her, he would go after that person. Mm-hmm. And sure enough, he did. So what were your thoughts on Nate hiding in Tyler's apartment?
Yeah, I just thought Nate was kind of taking the same steps that his dad took. I mean, you didn't really see his dad being that much of a creeper, but the way he talked to people, the way he interacted with people, he just got in his mind, he's a loner, and that's what I wrote down. Nate's a loner, so he just goes and acts, and he takes care of who he wants to take care of, and that's it. There's no gray area. It's black and white for him. Mm-hmm. So when his girl says, I was blacked out, that's all he hears.
Blacked out after that.
And, like, we kind of talked about this. I was trying to figure out, was Nate talking to himself when he's like, did you rape her? He asked him multiple times. He's like, you know she was underage. He's, like, trying to build a case for mm-hmm. him to do this act. So mm-hmm. I didn't know. I was kind of confused at the time. I was like, why are you building a case in your mind to beat this guy up?
It's pretty that much. Anger.
I didn't know if it was like anger, if it was like he was just wanting to find a reason to beat him up.
Mm-hmm. In Nate's mind, I think in Maddie, he's found his perfect idea of what a woman should be, right? Like hairless, pedicures, hair, like body perfect, everything that he wants, all his like weird list. And I think to him, she is that perfect image of a woman, so he really wants to have that control over her. Like, he's very picky, and it's interesting because it seems as though his dad sort of would have sex with, like, any and everyone, but he's very specific,
particular.
Yeah, with what he wants and what he likes, and he wants to, like, protect that. I mean, he's, like, a psycho while doing it, but I can't believe he went to that extent.
Me neither.
Like, I don't even think, I don't know, but I don't think his father would even do that. No. Not to say his father is, like, a good role model, but we didn't really see anything to that extent.
Right. I think there's a thin line between love and control.
Right.
And I feel like Nate is controlling because he has found his safe haven, and he wants to protect it and keep it safe, but that's not his job. You know, Maddie, she's allowed to do whatever she wants. Like, Nate can't control what she can and can't do, and he's trying to do that. Mm-hmm. Even though in his mind, he's thinking, I'm trying to protect her and save her. What actually he's doing is trying to control her, which is very scary, so I'm scared to see how this is going to unravel later in that season, because it's kind of scary. Okay, so then we find out through all of this that Shy Guy and Jules are getting comfortable. Shy Guy's texting Jules on the late night. Cut to the end of the scene. We see that Shy Guy is, and we are about 85% sure, let's say that, that Shy Guy is Nate. We rewound it, like, rewound, I don't know if that's a word.
Yeah.
Rewound?
Rewound, yeah.
We went backwards three times to see if that was Nate. We looked for the mole. That's what we looked for.
It was there.
It looked like it was there. So this is a interesting cliffhanger to leave us on because we're starting to find out a lot more about Nate. And that's the cool thing about the story and the show is that we're kind of learning the backstory of everyone. So we can find, like, we got a little bit of Jules and her mom and her dad situation. We're kind of figuring out what happened to these people to create who they are today. So I'm excited to see where we're going to go. This was a crazy episode. We talked about a lot of stuff. There's a lot going on. Is there anything else you guys want to share on that I may have missed?
I was going to bring up Kat. Because we see her dealing with the sex tape.
Yeah,
we see her dealing with the sex tape, and then she transitions from being like totally against it, shutting it down, blackmailing the guys that sent it out, which I thought was kind of weird at first. But hey, do you? So she, and that might have been the start of it. But yeah, she transitions to not liking it, and then you see, oh wait, I'm getting views, I'm getting clicks, people are liking me. That shows an insecurity in you, and you like she just transitions into a person that, I guess, is going to start making videos for porn sites and stuff. So that's going to be an interesting storyline. And I put that in my prediction, something about her. So we'll get to that later.
Yeah, to bring it back to what Jeff was saying, I meant to mention the scene with Kat and her finding out that she was recorded during her losing her virginity, and how when stuff like that happens to people, how it's like an invasion of privacy, especially someone who's already insecure with how they felt. So her walking down the hallway in high school was like heartbreaking because she felt like everyone was staring at her. And I think when Zendaya was narrating, she said something really awesome about the internet. I don't think I wrote it down. Oh, I think she said something. She wrote that. You know, the internet being in high school, all these people, 10 people can feel like the whole school.
Yep.
I thought that was so interesting. And I was like, that's so true when you're in high school. Even if only 10 people saw it or see you do anything, you still feel like every single person you know knows and they're judging you. And I felt like, you know, I think Kat did a good job of getting rid of it. And she got some makeup. But it still has a long-lasting effect. I mean, even after it's settled, she goes on Pornhub and she's still looking at the fact the video's still there and reading all the comments.
Yeah. And that's the thing, you know, she tried to do damage control. It's like, delete it from your phone, delete it from everybody's phone. Once it's on the internet, people, it's on the internet. There's no getting rid of it. Unfortunately, we've seen this time and time again in movies and TV, in real life. And it was heartbreaking. I feel like I saw her lose her innocence, and she sort of took it and, you know, saw a few positive comments and feel like that's how it starts. I mean, I know people make a career out of doing whatever online, but unfortunately, just in my opinion, I think it sort of starts that way a lot of the times, and it's so sad to see, you know, she was insecure, and that sort of gave her, like, almost like a sexual power where she's like, oh, like, I can be sexy too. People like me. So I'm really curious to see what happens with her storyline.
I'm kind of intrigued. I feel like this cam life might give her some confidence in learning to love her body, because she's like, oh, people do like this. And she can learn to appreciate how beautiful she is. Because sometimes it's hard when you're around different body types or different skin types or different hair types. You start to feel insecure about the way that you look. But then when you find people who love the way you look, you're like, oh, I am beautiful. I can like myself. I can love myself. And I think that's really interesting. I hope that's the path that she goes down, because it can be very dark on the internet as well.
Right.
Because it is the internet. Okay, so we had so much to talk about this episode. We're going to go into now our special segments, which is That's So High School. Jeff, do you want to tell us about That's So High School?
Yeah, so That's So High School is, we see a scene or a character during this episode, and we talk about why that resembles our high school experience. So just for an example, I'll go first. I talked about this time when the guy, or when, what is his name? When Maddie and Nate, when they were talking, and then he was asking her in the rain, he was asking her more information about the guy and if they had sex and stuff. That just reminds me of, like, me and, or just not me specifically, there was no specific instance, but, like, talking to your girl because you're so insecure about what she did in her past, what happened, because you know everybody's talking, everybody saw it. So it kind of brought me back to the same thing as last time, where the guy was always worried about his girl. And that's so high school to me. They're so worried, so insecure, asking so many questions over and over, even if it's just, yes, we blacked out, yes, I don't remember, yes. He still wants to keep badgering at that question.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So that would be my That's So High School.
My scene, it wasn't something that I could relate to, but something did happen in high school with a friend that it reminded me of Kat's situation, where I think Zendaya said, Rue said, you know, Kat was happy that she finally had sex just so that it could stop being the topic of conversation. One of my, you know, someone I knew in high school, she was like the only person out of her friend group that didn't have sex, and she was so sick of being the virgin. And people go through that in high school, and it's so sad that that's how it was, just like, oh, okay, I did it. Now everybody can stop talking about it. So that took me back to that memory.
Wow, I definitely like remember that happening in school, where people are like, oh, you haven't had sex yet? Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Mine are always so sad. Mine is the one with Rue and her mom arguing. My mom and I in high school headbutted all the time. I was like, I'm stubborn. I was like, I know me, I know my life, you can't tell me what to do. I was very melodramatic, and we would have screaming matches. I mean, I never pulled a knife on my mom or anything, but I would yell and scream at her, and she was only just trying to protect me, and I see that now. But when I was in high school, I was like, I know what's best for me, mom. Like, I know this, I know that, I know that. And I didn't, you know. Mm-hmm. Mom say a hard ASS makes a... Our hard head makes a soft ASS, and that happened to me a lot. And I learned, like, okay, maybe my mom does know what she's talking about, so maybe I should stop arguing and start listening. So that's my little... That's so high school. Might still be a little bit true today. That's so life. So now we've done that, let's go into our news and gossip.
AfterBuzz TV News.
All right, so before we get into the news and gossip, I want to shout out a few Euphorians. Actually, let's go into our photos. I found some really cool photos online. You can find them, too. They're on the Euphoria Instagram. This is a super dope photo I found that was created by, I'm probably going to butcher this name, Hood Ratkin. He created this super cool, like, art photo of the entire cast, and, like, Zendaya has her, like, glitter tear, which is really interesting. The next two photos I saw were some behind-the-scene photos that Zendaya took of Jules when they were, like, in... They didn't go into the forest, but they shot this, and she posted, said, tonight, the new episode. So this photo and the next photo are them, it's like, Zendaya posted it like this, but it's, like, them just sitting down. It's so cute, because it makes me want to love their relationship so much more. And so before we get into some news and gossip, I want to shout out some of the Euphorians that we've been chatting with today, and since last episode: Moonlight Bay, Aria Davis, sorry if I butcher your name, Jazzy Jones, Sasha 0406, and Quentin Coleman. Thank you so much for commenting on last week's episode. Thank you for tuning in. Hopefully you're tuning in this week. To everyone else new who's tuning in, please be sure to comment and keep the conversation going. Okay, so some news and gossip, y'all. So fellow Disney star Raven Simone was sticking up for Euphoria and Zendaya when she was on Access. They asked her, what's some advice you have to give to Zendaya about this show and about her career? And Raven Simone said that Zendaya knows the trajectory of her career and the way that she wants to create it, and I can't judge her for that. She then went on to say, it's up to the guardians of the children to regulate what they watch. She shouldn't have to stifle what other people are doing. And I was like, oh, that's deep. Because I know a lot of people were upset because Zendaya grew up on Disney, and now she's on this kind of super dark show, and Raven Simone was kind of just standing up for her. So Zendaya lovers, Jeff included, she is single. She is not dating her Spider-Man co-star, Tom Holland. I know a lot of people have been thinking that because they're constantly hanging out. The new Spider-Man movie is coming out soon, but Tom told Elle like a week ago that he is not her boyfriend. They're just really good friends. And Euphoria's premiere episode made BuzzFeed's top 19 TV moments from this week. They can't stop talking about, saying that the show is visually stunning, and I'm sure we all can agree with that because it is beautiful. So that's all the news and gossip I have for you today. So let's get into some, there's a lot this episode, so let's get into some predictions. I feel like it might be a lot to discuss.
And now, yeah.
After Buzz TV.
Predictions.
Ravette, you want to start us off?
Yeah. I think Jules, I don't know why, but I think she might sort of get into, like, the drugs that Rue is sort of taking. I know in this episode we saw her, you know, really being there for her and trying to help. And she even made a comment, like, didn't you just get out of rehab? But then Rue was like, yeah, so what? And they kind of, I don't know if they
Laughed
ended
it
up,
off.
I don't know if they... took it, the drug, they did, right? Yeah, because they were laughing about it. So I think Rue was sort of introducing Jules to the world of drugs, which is unfortunate. I think, like we discussed earlier, Kat is definitely going to get into the webcam thing, which will probably help her self-esteem and how she, you know, views herself, but might have some long-term effects that she might not be happy with. Also, isn't she, like, not 18 yet? or is she?
None of them are 18.
Okay, yeah, they're all under 18. I don't know. Those are my two main predictions this week.
Yeah, mine's with Kat as well. See, there's a scene, we kind of talked about this, with her and the new,
Ethan.
New student, Ethan. And I kind of saw something, I was like, they wouldn't just introduce a person for no reason. And then you go to the pep rally scene, and you see them look at each other. And I was like, that's all I needed. I'm already unshipped them. So,
what's their name? So,
Keith.
See, I did not actually ship them.
Keith.
Yeah. Okay, I'll leave the names to y'all. We're working on it. In the comments, let us know what's a good ship name for them. But yeah. No,
Keith.
But yeah, my prediction is that I feel like her diving into the sex world and the pornography world is gonna put a little barrier between them, because eventually that's gonna evolve into something. That's what I'm guessing. But it's gonna evolve into something, and then he's gonna realize, like, wait. What's going on? He's going to start to get to ask more questions. I think that might be, create a rift between them.
Mm-hmm. Y'all got a lot of predictions, so sit tight. I feel like Jules is going to start to sort of figure out who Shy Guy is. Mm-hmm. But not say anything right away, that she's going to start finding out that it's Nate. Mm-hmm. I think that somehow Maddie's going to find out what Nate did to Tyler and be terrified of Nate. I think that Fez is going to start kind of showing Rue that he might have a little bit of feelings for her. Mm. It might be brother or sister, but I feel like there's a deeper love than just, like, I love you, I got your back. But, like, no, I love you, I have your back. I feel like... what else? I feel like something... Cassie... We didn't talk about it a lot this episode, but Cassie and McKay... I don't know. I like McKay, but I kind of feel like he's setting her up.
Really?
I don't know. Because, like, I feel like... remember the first episode where his friends were making fun of him about Cassie in the video? And, like, now he's asking for nudes. And, like, again, that's fine. That's your man. Do you. But I just... I don't know. When they were hanging out, she was trying to be sexy, and then he was like, I know he said he's going through a lot, and now he's trying to be sexy. I'm just like, girl, FaceTime him. Like, just in case, because you guys just started dating, protect yourself. Mm-hmm. Women, do whatever you want, but always protect yourself.
Yeah.
So I kind of feel like something's going to happen with that situation, but I really hope not, because I ship them. That's McCassie. That's McCassie. I agree.
Get my ship names together.
Please, McCassie. I think there's something with Keithan. I think Ethan might really start to like Kat and find out that she's doing cam stuff. That's interesting. And, yeah, I think those are my predictions.
I have a question for you.
Uh-oh.
Do you think Rue has feelings for Jules? Because at first I thought it was mutual, because I just assumed when they just first hung out and laid in bed, I just assumed that they started to have some kind of feelings. Mm-hmm. And then when Jules is over there, she's texting the guy and stuff. So I was like, okay, maybe she's just being a friend. Mm. So I'm curious, does Rue have feelings for Jules?
I think, and this is something I think is really important, I think that Rue is just looking for love, and she wants someone to genuinely love her and protect her. And she has that from your family, but sometimes you need it from an outside source. So I feel like she's trying to, like, be more open, and she's been open with someone, and yeah, I don't know. I guess we'll have to find out.
Gotcha. As I said, there's a big difference between how she treats Jules and her other friends.
Write us in the comments what you think.
But let us know.
That is all that we have for today, so I hope you really enjoyed the show. Please comment all your thoughts and ideas, because we're going to be looking, we're going to be commenting, we're going to be replying back. I am Ashley. You can find me on all social media, Ashley Morgan, AshleyMorghan. Rivette?
And you can find me at Rivette Sorrow on Instagram, Twitter, YouTube, all social media platforms.
Jeff? And if you're trying to talk Zendaya, you know you can follow your boy at JeffWill_Jr. everywhere.
All right, Euphorians, have a great rest of your night. Stay encouraged and be sure to comment with us. Bye.
Bye.
Our founder, Kevin Undergaro, and me, Maria Menounos, would like to thank you for tuning in to AfterBuzz TV. Remember, we're not just the first, we're the biggest in the world, and we're the only destination for all your favorite TV shows. Whatever you crave, we've got it. So go to AfterBuzzTV.com and check out our lineup. Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principal.